Artist.io.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Eye Test. I'm your co-host, Jackson Boss. This is my co-host, Dylan Godina. It is 3:25 p.m. Central Time, Thursday, January 9th, the eve of Notre Dame, Penn State, or sorry, the eve of Texas, Ohio State. Notre Dame, Penn State play tonight. Dylan, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Up here in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, three more games left in the season. Hopefully they're good games, and yeah, I'm pumped up.
Went by too fast, man. Felt like we were just in Dublin. We started off with our previews from the quarterfinal round. Friday night, Boise State and Penn State. For most of the game, Penn State pretty much controlled it. Gentry, he hit over 100 rushing yards, but took him 30 carries to do that. They got some big plays, but in general, Penn State could not be stopped on the run game, and they took care of business.
Yeah, I mean, this game went about as like you would expect. I mean, JT had like a solid game, but Penn State did enough to stop him. I feel like if Boise State to have a chance in this game, I feel like Ash and JT like had to go off. Like he had to go for like 230 plus, four touchdowns, and kind of like absolutely put the team on his back. But Penn State didn't let that happen. The only big plays that Boise State really had were through the air. But Penn State pretty much dominated this game all the way through and took care of business. Not much else to say.
I agree. It did look close when they ran in for that touchdown to make it 31-21, but then it got called back. Regardless, though, great season for Boise State. I think they fought hard. Nothing to be ashamed
For sure. For sure. I think that that program's going in the right direction, especially. They've shown that under the 12-team playoff format, a group of five team can succeed.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to the game of the week, Texas, Arizona State, overtime thriller. It seemed like Texas was rolling. They scored two plays in their first drive, then they get the Silas Bolden punt return. And then same old Texas, they get complacent in the second and third quarter, let Arizona State back in the game. I think the main issue for Texas, even though their defense looked bad at the end of the half, I don't think it was their fault, or at the end of the game. They were just getting gassed because the offense was just producing these quick three and out, quick possessions that the defense didn't get a chance to rest. And eventually, if you just run a guy like Cam Scadaboo over and over and over again, the defense is going to get gassed.
Yeah, towards the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, you could tell how fatigued the Texas defense was. I mean, I think for two or three straight drives, I think Texas went three and out in the third quarter, and that does not help your defense at all, especially against a team like Arizona State that are putting up consistently like long series of downs and like drives. Like I feel like every single series of downs went, like every time they got a first down, it was on third down or fourth down. I mean, it was just long and grueling drives, and that adds up on a defense, especially when you have a man child like Cam Scadaboo, like running into you every play. I mean, that Texas defense really took a beating towards the end of the game, and I really blame that on their offense because in the first half, the Texas defense kept Arizona State and Cam Scadaboo under control.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think it's like what happens in the middle of the game, I don't think it's an inability from the Texas side. I think this has kind of been an issue for Sark in different points in his career at Texas, especially in 2022. Texas would have huge leads after the first half, and then like they would put up 30 plus in the first half and then have one score in the second half. So I don't know if it's a scheme thing from Sark or what the issue is, but we've seen this before from Sark. But I think it only happens when he's up. I think if it's a close game, it's not like if you look back at Texas, it's not like in a close game, they get complacent and get blown out in the second half necessarily.
It's just like, it seems like every time like they get up, like they'll score a touchdown to like get a decently sized lead, and they're like, oh, okay, like it's over now. Like we can chill a little bit, which is like totally against their team motto of all gas, no breaks. I mean, because they have the talent. It's just like they just don't have that killer instinct to finish teams off, and they let teams come back. And I mean, I don't understand this team at all, really. I mean, they really need to like cut that shit out if they want to have a chance to actually win the national championship this year.
I think they've seen the running game be so effective in certain points in the season that they trusted a lot more than they should, I think. And because the running game wasn't great against Arizona State. And I think that's kind of what they lean on when they get that big lead. And I think they just need to keep pushing the ball forward because, especially in the like people's perceptions of Quinn in the passing game have kind of decreased, I feel like, as the season's gone on, especially in those first like 5 or 6 games. Team like you saw so many screen passes because teams would play up on Texas because they were scared of them throwing over them. So I think if you can start fast and keep instilling that fear throughout the game, then so many more options open up.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like those little RPOs with like slants like 10 to 15 yards down the field across the middle, I feel like that's money like a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But we just screw ourselves over with these like handoffs to Jaden Blue like again and again, where he just gets 1 and 2 yards and it puts Quinn in a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, and he's just not that good. I mean, he's not good enough most of the time to get out of situations like that. Obviously, we saw him come up big on the 4th and 13 in overtime, and that was huge. I think that's one of the most impressive plays
Yeah.
when you were just
I mean,
career.
to talk about that, well, one thing I wanted to say first. You mentioned this like yesterday, and we were just talking how Texas usually zone blocks. And I think I'm like the way they in the, that zone blocking, it allows them to get these huge breakaway plays, but it's not, I don't think it's compatible for ground and pound 5, 4, 6, 7,
Exactly.
five.
It'll be 0, 1, -1, 8, 1, 0, and that's just not gonna win. I feel like if the Texas linemen just went head to head against anyone they play, they'd be more successful than doing
That
stuff like
is true,
that.
but I think the reason they don't do that is because Texas offensive line is, especially at this point in the season with the teams they're playing, they're slightly undersized. With especially with teams like Ohio State and Oregon. On the Quinn piece, he does have to stop floating the ball. And what he didn't do on that 4th and 13 was float the ball. He put just enough zip on it. And but I think Quinn deserves some credit. After that interception, from what I've seen from Quinn so far, like I thought he was rattled. Goes 14 for 16, like 145 or whatever it
Yeah,
was.
that was one of the best. Like that's like at his best, I think. Honestly, I haven't
Because
seen him
he's
much
not
better than
great
that.
at history says he's not great at responding when he's not playing well, and he was able to, and Texas able to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They have some issues. I do think that this Arizona State kind of scare is ultimately a positive though for them. I kind of think it's a big slap in the face and be like, okay, wow, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. Like, we can't be complacent with any lead.
Yeah,
So we'll see
agreed.
though.
Yeah. Moving on, Ohio State, Oregon. This was never really a game. Ohio State jumps out to a 34-0 lead. Just two breakaway runs really sealed it. And Oregon never really had a fighting chance. It's huge, huge shock to me. I thought Oregon was going to be able to throw the ball just like they did in that first matchup. But it's like what everyone's been saying all week. Ohio State is finally playing at their max potential. Like the DBs were supposed to be like one of the most elite units in the country, and they hadn't been, but now they're playing to their level right now. And like Jordan James gets a little hurt in the first quarter, and kind of the Oregon just has no run game after that. And yeah.
I mean, man, all preseason, everyone's talking about how talented this Ohio State team is, how stacked they are. And throughout this entire season, it's been kind of the same thing, like as we've been saying about Texas. Like, yeah, they're really talented, but we haven't really like seen them at their full potential. And it seems like right now what we're seeing is their full potential. I think that loss to Michigan really made them lock in, and they're playing some great football right now. Like, I mean, they've just blown out two top 10 teams just over by 20 plus points in back-to-back games. And what I think they just totally changed up their scheme offensively. I think Chip Kelly's relying way more on Will Howard and quick passes, trusting his receivers more, trusting Jeremiah Smith more to just give him the ball and let him work instead of just run after run after run like we saw against Michigan, which obviously didn't work well for them. But yeah, and besides that, also their Their pass rush is looking much better than they did in the season. They really got after Dylan Gabriel. I think they sacked him like 8 times. But just, yeah, I mean,
I think this
everything's
Oregon,
working for at full power for Ohio State right
I think
now.
that this Oregon defense also kind of got exposed a little bit.
Yeah,
They were
sure.
always considered somewhat of a suspect unit. I always thought they were really good, and they played pretty well, even though they gave up 29 points. They played pretty well against Ohio State in that first matchup, and they just got cooked on the edges. I mean, as soon as Trayvon Henderson or Jeremiah Smith was able to get the corner, they were just gone. Like, they got cooked on the edges.
Yeah, no. That's I mean that's we talked about that when we were previewing Oregon for the playoff. I mean, there's a lot of like great defenses in this playoff that like at the beginning. And we were talking about Oregon's and they're good. They're a good defense, don't get me wrong, but they're not as elite as teams like Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. They just weren't. They were kind of a level, like a tier down. And so that really meant that their offensive firepower had to carry them. And this Ohio State front just shut them down. Shut them
Yeah.
down completely. I mean, it was 31-0 at some point. I mean,
34-0, yeah.
if I think if this Ohio State defense played like comparable to some of the games they played in the regular season, this could have been like a shootout. Like I think it could have been
Yeah, I
like
think it could be an
34,
awesome game.
31.
Yeah.
But I mean, who knows, man? Like this might be a fluke as well. Like it's like who I don't know what, you don't really know what to make out of this anymore just because we've seen these teams play terrible games. We've seen teams at their worst, and we've seen teams at their best.
I agree with that. The Oregon result really, like the Tennessee game, I always thought that was in the cards. Like, I always thought an Ohio State blowout
Yeah.
was in the cards for that game. Oregon, I really was not expecting
Yeah,
this.
no, I wasn't expecting that at all. With Dylan Gabriel was toasted before the game, so.
What they're saying. That's what they're saying. All right. Moving on to the final game that got delayed because of the tragedy in New Orleans. Notre Dame, Georgia. This, I mean, this was.
I'd like to speak first on this one. I'd like to speak first on this one. But so as many of our listeners know, Jackson is a very big Notre Dame hater. Huge Notre Dame hater. He's actually agreed that if Notre Dame wins the national championship, he has to do a punishment of our choosing. So he's that unconfident in Notre Dame. He bet big on Georgia for this game. I personally was rooting for Notre Dame. Was rooting for the Irish. Can't stand Georgia. But I mean, I think that the result of this game is a very misleading. I feel like it really came down to just a few key Georgia mistakes. In no way, shape, or form do I think Georgia wins this game 7 times out of 10, even with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
But I mean, Georgia just made stupid turnovers in crucial moments. They gave up a special teams touchdown. Like they gave up I want to say 17 points in like
17
a
points in a
minute and
minute
45 of
26.
game in like a minute
Yeah.
45 seconds of gameplay. Like you can't do that and expect to win a playoff game. So
And like not even that, but 14 points in like 19 seconds. I mean, the I will say the kick return, like, yeah, special teams mistakes, but like kick returns are going to happen. Like, that's just football. Like, guys going to find a gap, whatever. The interception at the end of the
yeah,
half was
that can't
very,
happen.
very un-Kirby-like, I will
That
say.
can't happen.
Like, very out of character for Georgia. I do think they had a, there was enough time left in the clock. There was maybe 50 seconds, something like that, for them to try to get a field goal. So I don't think they're idiots for trying to get something going. But in a, I think it was 6-3. It was 6-3 at that point, if I'm
Yeah,
not
I
mistaken.
think so.
In a 3-point game, when you have a backup, inexperienced backup quarterback, I think that's a dumb coaching mistake from Kirby.
You
Yeah,
also,
you have Carson Beck in there, try to get a field goal with 45 seconds left. But you have a backup, inexperienced quarterback, like just take it to halftime. You're down by three, just take it to halftime.
got to know who you're playing. Like you're playing Notre Dame, which has one of the top defenses of the country. There's like a minute
Leads the
left in
league in
the,
turnovers.
yeah, a minute left in the half. Your backup quarterback's in. Like, I don't know. I don't agree with that. But
Yeah, I thought that was a stupid mistake.
I would have like first. Was it the first play? First play from that drive, he threw a pick.
Yeah, I think it was the first play he threw pick right away. And
I mean,
then
like at least like
first play
run the
after a
ball. At
sack.
least like run the ball a few times. Like see if you gain
Well,
any yards.
I don't think they had time to do that. I think they only had one
I don't know.
timeout.
Whatever. Well, it
No, but
costs.
I think you just take it to half there in that
Yeah.
situation. You're down by three. You're not down by 14, you know?
And I mean, Georgia's defense still played good. I mean, I think they
No, they
held,
played great. I
yeah,
mean,
they held Notre Dame to like 230 total yards. I mean,
Riley Leonard had like 75 passing yards.
Yeah, no. But yeah,
And then
Fighting
also,
Irish onto the semis.
you gotta feel a little bad, even though he's an absolute idiot. But Preston Smith, I think is his name, the walk-on who I think that's a
Preston
game changer
Clark?
play,
I
man,
don't know.
because that Arian Smith took that down to like the Notre Dame seven, and because it was a spot foul, it took Georgia back to like the 38, and then I think Gunner took a sack, and they didn't even get a field goal out of that possession.
Yeah.
And Georgia from inside the eight, like I think they would have scored a touchdown there, and that would have changed the whole game.
Oh,
And that's gonna be that guy's legacy at Georgia.
yeah, I
Like his
know.
legacy
That's
at Georgia
insane.
will be.
That dude's life's legacy is like set stone already.
Yeah, too
Anytime
bad.
he's gonna be like, hello, I'm not sure if his name's Preston Smith, but like 20 years down the line, hi, I'm Preston Smith. Like, nice to meet you. Like for like you're at a job meeting. Oh, dude, are you the guy like back in 2024 that ran into like that's literally what his life is gonna be.
Yeah. Also, I think that's kind of a pretty harsh penalty. Like he wasn't on
Yeah.
the field. He wasn't on the
You
field.
can't run into the ref like that.
Well, technically the ref ran in him, but yeah, like he
You
would
can't,
obviously
yeah.
it's on him, but I think that's a pretty harsh penalty. Like 15-yard spot, like that's like he killed the drive.
Yeah.
I think that's it for our previews. I mean, sorry, for our recap. Moving on to our previews. We'll start with Notre Dame, Penn State. I think both these teams.
You're it to say. Nothing.
Bus, you're frozen, dude. You froze.
You're frozen for a second too. All right, whatever.
Just
Restart.
read it. You can cut it.
I think Notre Dame and Penn State, they both play like a pretty similar style of ball. They play similar brand of football,
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Penn State has the advantage in the passing game. I think Notre Dame's defense is slightly better, but I think Penn State's passing game, like they'll be able to complete throws that Gunner wasn't able to. I think that gives the Lions the edge. But Notre Dame, like they've lived and died with in the margins. You know, that's how they've won games. That's how they've played their whole season. And if they can get turnovers, which like James Franklin in big games likes to turn over the ball, even though it's not him, his teams like to turn over the ball. They can get turnovers, they can win the margins, and they have a chance. But I think it's gonna be hard-nosed, really fought game, hard-fought game.
I agree with what you said. I think these teams are very comparable. I think Drew Aller and Riley Leonard as game managers are very comparable. I would say though, I think I trust Riley Leonard to not turn the ball over more than I do Drew Aller. Riley Leonard, I think, is very good at taking care of the ball. I think the winner of this game is whoever gets up early and is able to play their brand of football.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
agree.
like whoever takes that first half lead going to the second half, I think that's the team that's gonna win because both these team styles are play tough defense and ground and pound, control the game, control the clock, and whoever throws the other out of their rhythm is gonna lose. But like I said, I think Riley Leonard's like a more trustworthy game manager than Drew Aller, and also I think Marcus Freeman is a better coach than Coach Franklin. Like I think James Franklin, I just don't trust him to get the job done in the spot. I trust Notre Dame's defense. I trust Notre Dame to take care of the ball. And so I'm gonna pick Notre Dame to move on to the national championship.
So I think the status of Jeremiah Love still up in the air. We don't know if he's gonna play. That'd be a huge loss
That
for
would be
Notre Dame.
huge.
What?
I said that would be huge, yeah.
That'd be a huge loss for Notre Dame, but I think he's probable right now. I know also Abdul Carter's status up in the air. I have some inside intel from Penn State. He should be good to go, should be playing at
Who's your
full.
insider? Who's your Penn State insider?
Adam Jabara, inside source. Abdul Carter should be good to go. And I kind of get what you're saying that Riley Leonard's a better game manager, but I think that's only because he throws the ball less. Like if he threw the
think
ball
I
as much
just
as
Drew
Drew
Aller
Aller,
turns the
I like
ball over more than Riley Leonard. That's a fact.
that is a fact. That's true. And Notre Dame leads the country in turnovers. But I just think I gotta stick with my guns. You know, like I can't quit now.
right.
Give
Yeah,
me
keep betting
the
against Notre Dame, man. Keep
give me
picking,
the Nittany
keep picking, keep
Lions.
picking against Notre Dame. That's working out for you.
Give me the Nittany Lions to go to the national championship. That being said, I think this is second place game, and I think the real championship game is happening on Saturday, on Friday.
I don't know if you can say that, man. I don't know if you can say that.
That being said,
That's a fair statement, but I don't know if you can call it a second place game.
let's move on. Texas, Ohio State. I'll open up this one. This is pretty crazy. I don't think I've seen anything like this. I have probably heard over 50 people take Ohio State, and I haven't heard a single soul picking Texas. And people are acting like it's already wrapped up. Like if you go on any of those like Barstool podcasts, they're like, just give the like Ohio State should thank Michigan when they're lifting that national championship trophy. I mean, you just look at the odds. Every team is to win the Natty, like Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, they're all +400 over, and Ohio State's -120, -150 on some books. Everyone's acting like it's wrapped up, it's over. And I get why they're saying that. This team is peaking right now. They're peaking at the right point, which is usually leads to a national championship. But I don't think they're giving Texas enough credit. Texas, this team, they're not a streaky, I mean, they are a streaky team, but that's not how they're conducive to success. You know, they play bad games, they play good games. This Texas team can get up on any given day. They can come and play any given day, they'll be ready. And they've been hearing all this noise that they got no chance. Jeremiah Smith would be the number one pick in this year's draft. All of this. And I think it's getting way overblown, and that like Ohio State's the people are saying that they take Ohio State -14. This Texas defense can get to Will Howard, that gives them the best chance to win the game. He needs to be shaking his boots. He needs to be uncomfortable. He's 0-3 against Texas. He fears the horns. And then the other key, if Texas isn't able to run the ball, they might as well just walk off the field. And I don't think that's an overstatement. They have to be able to run the ball, and because they can't let Ohio State, if Ohio State scores 35 plus, it's probably over. So the defense needs to be disciplined, and Texas has to get to a good start. They can't play from behind.
I agree with everything you said. I feel like this team throughout this entire season has throughout this entire season they've been heavily favored in most matchups that they've played against. And I think that level of being favored, like people knowing how good you are, has kind of taken away some grit from this Texas team. This season, I think that's playing a part of them not having that killer aspect. But the last time that this Texas team was an underdog was in 2023. They're 7.5 point underdogs against Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Steve Sarkisian's Texas teams have been known for being very emotional teams. They rise up when they need to rise up. They do have the rep for not taking care of business, though. But like you said, Buzz, there's been 50 predictions. I've seen like 50 predictions about this game. I've not seen a single person, not single analyst, not single expert pick the Horns. And I don't know, man. If I'm in that locker room, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting pissed off. Why are we not deserving this respect? Why are we not getting the respect we deserve? And I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think Texas is a very talented team. They're right up there with Ohio State, talent-wise, in their roster. And I don't know, man. I think this lights the fire under their ass, and I think they get it done in Cotton Bowl and Jerry World. And they book their trip. They book their tickets, the national championship to play Notre Dame.
All right, I
Trent
mean,
Moore, you joined us.
valid pick.
It got me hyped.
I agree with a lot of things you said, and I think if this Texas, if they bring everything they have, then I think they can get it done. But I think Texas has to play almost a flawless game. Like
They do.
I think Quinn needs to play a top three game of his college career. And at this point, why not, man? Like, this dude, I feel like is so in his head all the time. You have maximum two games left to play for this university that you claim to love, call your home. Like, just screw it and go out there and play ball. The defense, I think, is a big aspect of what you said. If you watched, I remember in 2023, they played their first game was against Rice, and after that game, a lot of people were like, "Oh my God, like we're so overrated, like we look terrible." And coming in, then they go to Tuscaloosa the next week, like the whole defense played with a fire
Yeah.
under the glass, and I think you're right. I think this defense is going to come out strong. I really think the key to this entire game is Will Howard. If Will Howard has a good game, I think Ohio State's going to win. But if
I
Tech,
just.
I really believe that if he has a good game, I think Ohio State's going to win. But if Texas can get to him, it's going to really be it's going to they're going to Texas is going to need they need to take advantage of every slight advantage they have, and they got to come out. They got to hit hard. Like this defense, they need to get in their heads. They need to throw them off the rhythm, because right now it's like the buzzsaw theory. They're clicking on all cylinders. They can throw the Ohio State offense off the rhythm. It's just going to come down to whether Texas can put enough points. My official prediction, I think this game is going to come down to a field goal. Like one of these teams is going to be kicking a field goal as time expires. And I love to pick with my heart, but I think Ohio State wins as time expires, either on a missed field goal from Texas or a made field goal from Ohio State. So my prediction is the Buckeyes. I also have a weird, for some reason, like I can't imagine an Ohio State Penn State natty. Like I feel like if I don't know. I can't. That just looks weird. It's Big Ten. I think if Penn State wins, then Texas wins, as even though that makes no sense at all.
I know that you told me you had a dream the other night that Bert Auburn kicked a game-winning 52-yard field goal. I guess that dream just like went out the window.
No, the dream is still there. I just he might. I just I got it. When I look at it, all ends. I just think there's too many ways that Texas can lose this game. You know, if the run game isn't there,
That's
it's
true.
over.
That's true. I agree with you.
If
I
Will
agree with
Howard is
you.
on, if Will Howard is on, the game is probably over. If Ohio State can run the ball, the game is also probably over. And
I'm
they just,
telling you, man.
there's
Hold
too
on, hold on.
many.
Let me say something. This te You're forgetting about how good this Texas defense is, man. Like they're second best, if not the best defense in the country. They've only been giving
I
up
agree.
points to they only giving points to ASU because their offense was selling them. And I'm telling you right now, in those first quarters, Ohio State's not going to put up 250 total yards like they did against Oregon, like they did against Tennessee. That's not going to happen. That's
No,
just
I
not gonna
agree.
happen.
I
And
agree.
I know, and
I
like,
don't think it's gonna be a blowout. I don't think it's gonna be a
I
blowout.
just, I'm telling you right now, man, I have a feeling we're gonna see a different Texas team. They know when to turn it on, they know when to dial it up.
No, and I think you're right. I really think Texas is gonna come out and play hard, but I think that's if they don't do that, then it's a blowout.
Well,
And I
yeah, if they
think
don't, yeah, you're saying if they don't play well, it's gonna be a blowout. Like, no.
no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they can come out here and still like. We can be super proud of this Texas team and the way they played, and they still just at the last moment, it just doesn't go their way. I
I don't know.
think
Okay. I'm
that
done.
is a
I'm done. I'm
possible
done.
scenario.
I'm done.
I'm
I'm
just
done
saying
talking
that's a
about this game.
possible
I'm
scenario
done
is all
talking
I'm
about this
saying.
game. I'm done talking about this game. All
What do you mean
right.
done talking about this game?
We don't really have any best bets, right? I guess since we just
I
have
got some. I got
predictions.
some. I got some best bets.
What are they?
You want to take a quick break and we'll come back.
No, just rip them.
Right. So in terms of, hold up, let me pull out the catalog. In terms of futures, the line has significantly decreased. But I was able to get Jeremiah Smith at plus 850 to be the offensive player of the game in the national championship. And I think that's a really good bet, for anyone out there. In terms of props for this weekend, I like Nick Singleton for the first touchdown in the Penn State Notre Dame game, and then also take that under. It's going to be a really hard fought game between both teams. I think the under there, like I don't think either team scores more than like 21, 22 points.
All right, I like the under. I agree with that, the under in the Penn State Notre Dame game, but I like Riley Leonard first touchdown score in that game.
All right. And then also in that game, I think this Notre Dame defense, I think the way they play, I think James Franklin is going to want to adjust a little bit at certain points, especially if they're winning. Drew Aller, his rushing prop is only 13 and a half yards. I think if he just the sack comes, he scrambles out of it. I think that takes two plays and he gets that. So I think that's a very good bet as well. And
I don't know.
then
It is college. Wait, do they count sack yardage in college? They do, right? Or
yes,
just yeah.
they do count sack yardage.
I could see him getting sacked there, but I'm losing my
But
game right now.
we've seen Aller like pop off for like 50-yard runs.
Yeah,
So
that is true. All right, you got anything else, Puss?
yes. Wait, I lost it 1 second. Oh, there we go. Carnell Tate. A lot of times this Texas defense, they're able to I think Texas is going to be super focused on Jeremiah Smith, and they're aware of Amika Buka as well. And I think Carnell Tate in some zone coverages is going to be open a lot, and his receiving prop's only 26 yards. It's a former five-star player, so I like that as well. But we got a big weekend ahead of us. Notre Dame, Penn State tonight. Me and Dylan will be at the Cotton Bowl. We'll be in different seats. We'll be separated, but
Yeah,
we'll be
we won't be
there.
sharing a seat. Yeah.
We'll be in different sections of the stadium. It should be a good one, man. I hope for no blowouts this weekend. These should both be awesome games.
They should. I think the Texas Ohio State's really gonna like steal the show here, but I'm expecting a really good game for this from this Notre Dame Penn State game tonight. And yeah, I'm excited to watch. Man, only three games left in the season. Feels like yesterday. Me and Bus loaded up our podcast for the preseason predictions. But here we go.
Oh wait, we should look back at those.
Yeah, we should. We're gonna
We should
we're gonna whenever when after the national championship, we're gonna make an episode comparing our predictions to how the season actually played out for real. So, all right,
All
Bus,
right.
you got anything else?
Go Nittany Lions tonight. Tomorrow, let's go Horns. Hug them.
There. All right. Yeah, make sure to get those bets in for the Notre Dame game kicks off tonight. And as always, guys, stay safe in the student section.
Artlist.io.